You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
I'd like to share with you a conversation I had with our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, focusing on the letters of Pope St. Gregory the Great. Who would you compare Gregory to as an emperor?
Oh, a Roman emperor, you mean?
Yeah.
Kind of a nice guy who was efficient, as I would say, like him, maybe Claudius, because Gregory was clear and was organized, but they say very charitable and very mild and meek, which is the case, I think, more or less. But anyway, that's another thing. And of course, there in Rome, you have near the at the Colosseum, there was his house down the street from the Colosseum.
The Caelian Hill.
Yes, right across the street.
His suburban villa on the Caelian Hill became a monastery.
Oh, yeah. Villa Suburbana in Cenobium Transiit. It went over into a monastery, yes.
Would you recognize Gregory the Great physically? I read that he was rather bald with a tawny beard and carefully curled sideboards. His nose was thin and straight and slightly aquiline.
I would recognize his style, because he has a certain style which is really very, very pleasing. And his homilies are out of this world. And as I say, he's prolific. He had volumes and volumes. His thing on Job and the pastoral rule and the dialogues about the saints. Really, he was a great man, really. He was good.
Historically, he was poised between the ancient and medieval world.
Oh, yeah. He introduced the Middle Ages.
How do you say St. Gregory was poised between the ancient and the medieval worlds?
Inter antiquum collocatus est novumque orbem. Or mundum. Inter antiquum collocatus est novumque orbem. And the new world. Mm-hmm.
You know your students, they're American students from 2014, or anyway, from our modern world. What do they see in Gregory that makes him interesting?
Well, what is interesting is I find out, most of the students never read the letters of Cicero. I went to the University of Kansas, and we spent a half a day there. And I asked them, did you ever read Plautus? They said, we never heard of Plautus. I said, well, then you might as well close down your classical department, because you just don't go ahead without Plautus. And what I'm surprised is what they think. They don't know what to think, because they've never read these people. Once they read this, and they see this guy, and they see these are not Catholic, but they read this stuff and they say, isn't this glorious what he writes? There, we want to experience it. It's sitting there.
How would you describe Plautus in Latin in a nutshell?
Oh, Plautus. Comicorum scripturumque praestantissimus. The most outstanding, really. The most outstanding of the comics and the writers. And the writers in certain areas, I would put him at just the first. He's so lively, and he talks so wonderfully. And colloquial Latin on the street, of course, the students went crazy with this. So look at how he's talking here. And he said, abi, like abi modo. Will you please get lost? Just go away. Abi modo. You can hear this. You can hear this guy talking, and the Romans talking, in 204 B.C. That's Plautus, more or less 200 B.C., he says, abi modo, will you please get lost? One expression after another. But the students came in extra little classes we had between classes, and we had a projector, said, bring along Plautus, and they did from the library. Why, they went crazy. I said, and it is a shame if you have gotten this far in your life, even the teachers, and have not read Plautus, I don't know, every day, almost every month. Well, you've just missed something. You've just missed something. The poor things, they just don't know about this. They're so concentrated on Virgil, and Dido, and all that. Or they'll go to Cicero and read his orations. That's not for younger students or younger people. You want something lively and sparkly and brilliant.
Lively, sparkly, brilliant?
Yeah.
How do you say all that in Latin?
Sermonem quodimus vivissimum et lucidum. At splendidum, at jucundum, and a happy talk, that's what we're looking for. So anyway, we had a great time, and half was on Cicero, and the other half was on this dear Gregory. I gave him 15 pages of letters from Gregory. And they would say, oh, come on, we had 2 sessions in the morning and the afternoon, and they'll come on, let's read Gregory again. It's interesting what he says at the end here, his last phrase to Augustine, where he says, in order that God might show that the world is converting itself not with the wisdom of human beings, but with the power of God, he chose his preachers without letters, sine litteris, without education, whom he sent into the world. That's the last word of that last sentence of Gregory. So you don't have to have all these degrees and everything else. It's a different way of being a pastor and a witness to the gospel. And they said, heaven sees, what a gorgeous expression. You could tell any priest or bishop here. And oh, they understood. They said, my, ooh. I said, well, it's been sitting there for 1,500 years. If you're interested, you can just open the books and read. And that was all with Gregory. We had a lot of fun with Gregory.
You were listening there to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, who was for many years and under many popes papal Latinist. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.